that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives all light to everyone was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Good morning, Mount Joy Mennonite, online and in person. It's good to be with you, even though I'm not Mennonite. And now it has been declared that somehow I am the inferior lead pastor during your transition time. No, you guys have been great and accepted me well. That was a great skit. That was awesome. And eliminate some of our excuses, guys, for not getting out to the men's retreat that day and coming up. So we're in our Blessed series, and last week we talked about beginning with prayer, beginning well. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you during your week to circle up with a few people in prayer. It could be two or three people. You can text each other. You can call each other. You can physically be together. But I'd just like you to circle up in prayer and remember that last week, and if you guys can bump up to that next slide, it should kind of give a little, this is what we talked about last week. When we pray together, Jesus helps us rekindle our hope in his coming kingdom, our compassion for our neighbors, and our calling to bless our neighbors with his love. So just remember that. Get together with a couple people, text a couple people, maybe text a prayer about God's kingdom's coming. Jesus is coming. Let's be hopeful today. Let's be compassionate about our neighbors today. And let's take seriously and let Jesus well up our calling with us to bless our neighbors with his love. Okay? So I want you to begin with prayer. I want you to start doing that with different people. And that's just a way of rekindling that whole idea that we're called to be part of God's kingdom in this way by blessing our neighbors. So today we're going to focus on that L in bless. That is listen, listening well. Did you know that the cry of the human heart is to be heard, understood, and loved? How do I know that? I know that because all through the Bible, it has verses like Psalm 61:1. "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." How many times in God's Word do we hear those types of prayers being whispered out to God? As God's people, as people, we want God to hear us, right? And so we say, "God, would you hear us? Would you listen to us? Would you take time for us?" It's the cry of our heart to do that. But when we don't feel heard by other people who can represent God to us, we often feel unheard, unknown, and unloved. And that's kind of our dilemma of the human condition, especially in our days, right? Because in our days, it's not very much about listening, is it? It's about talking, it's about opinions, it's about attacking. We live in really uncivil times, right? There's like incivility amongst almost everybody about what's going on. And as the election mounts and comes, it's going to get worse, isn't it? It's going to get worse. And we know that from our last election and from the times that we live in. There's just this isolation and incivility are kind of at this, rampant and increasing pace in our society. But Jesus modeled listening in many, many different ways for us with many different people. He performed miracles. He was a great teacher. Mind-blowing truths time and time and time again. But Jesus also, in very simple ways, showed his love to people. And one of those simple ways was to ask questions and to listen to people. In his book, Jesus is the Question, Martin Covenhaver tells us that Jesus, in Scripture, it's documented, asked 307 questions. In the Scripture, he only answers three questions that other people ask him. So I know that the Scriptures don't contain all the conversations that Jesus had when he walked the earth, right? You know that, and I know that. However, so there's something to be said for that ratio of the amount of questions Jesus was asking and his curiosity about people and what he's doing as to the amount of questions that he took the time to really answer. So Jesus models for us how to reach out to people, to love them, to love our neighbor by listening to them well. So this model of listening well that I'm going to teach you today, it comes from a multitude of different mentors that have been involved in my life. And I'll talk about some of them as I go through the message. But as I've adopted and I've adapted and I've applied it, I'm sure that you're going to find some of these teachings in other places. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. I can't say that I invented this. And two of those people that I took about a year's worth of time to be trained by were a couple named Peter and Jerry Scazzaro. And at the time, they led a church in New York City called New Life Fellowship in Corona, Queens. And they've written a number of books about being emotionally healthy and the church being emotionally healthy. And one of the things about being emotionally healthy is being able to listen to other people well. And they say this in their curriculum on emotionally healthy relationships. God entered our planet and he forever changed it. God became incarnate, taking on human flesh. He knew there was no greater way to show human beings his love than to fully enter our lives. Jesus modeled incarnational love when he entered our world and walked in our shoes. And so the secret to listening well is to look at the incarnation. What is the pattern? What's the pathway of the incarnation of Christ? Because the incarnation of Christ is the most powerful force ever in all the universe. Amen? The incarnation of Christ. So it gives us a pattern for our lives, for our Christian lives. What does it look like to leave your space, to enter somebody else's space, and then hang in the balance between those two spaces? So we're going to look very quickly this morning at John chapter 1, at the incarnation, and we're going to see how we can listen well by looking at the pattern of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So the first way to listen well is to step out of your world. To step out of your world. We just had us read for us that Jesus was the Word in the beginning. He created all things. He knew all things. He was there with the Father and the Spirit in creation. He was this eternal Word of God. Now, here's what you need to understand about the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the only Gospel that we have that was written to a non-Hebrew mindset. The other Gospels were written to people who had a Hebrew mindset. They understood the Old Testament. They understood Scriptures. They had some religious background and training in who God was. But John was writing to a different audience. He was writing to what we would probably refer to as a secular mindset. He was writing to philosophers of the day, people of the greater culture in the day who were not Hebrew. And so he reached out into the culture by God's help and he picked out a word or a concept called the divine logos. And he said, that divine logos that you've studied, that you believe in this divine logos almost philosophically, that there's a deity or a spirit, etherical, that exists way up there somewhere beyond us, and it doesn't really touch earth. It's a distant deity, but you believe in it, and you believe in this word. There is a divine word. There is some divine truth. They believed that there was some sort of divine truth, but they weren't really connected to it, nor did they believe that it really connected with us in any personal way. And so when John wrote, yes, you're on to something, there is this divine word, there's divine truth, but that divine truth did not stay at a distance from us. The divine truth came to us. And God is not watching us. God is not watching us from a distance. God is close to us. God is near to us. God is coming to us. And when we learn how to be like Jesus and take time to step out of our world and really listen to somebody else, we can't save their soul, but in some sense, we are as Christ to them. You have had people in your life who have sat down with you and they listened well. Amen? And they asked really good questions. And they followed up. And they got to know you. And they were curious about you. And they were as Christ to you. In the incarnation, Jesus stepped out of his world. He was proactive. He took the first step. And many times when we're listening to somebody else, we just need to take that first step. We need to ask that first question. A question about them. Jesus asked great questions. On May 5th, we're going to have a gifted couple here. They're going to come teach and train and lead an interactive workshop for us. Their names are Heather and Ash Holman. They live in State College, and Heather teaches up at Penn State University. And they work together, although her names are on many of her books. He works together and does a lot of research in the background for her, so Ash does that. And they've written a couple books. The books that they'll be talking about today are, one is called Scent, and it's a book about embracing your scent lifestyle, that God has you in your place, and you're sent to be there, and how to embrace that. The other one is called The Six Conversations, and it's how to have really better conversations in a time of isolation and incivility. But I like in her book where she talks about these four mindsets of a loving conversation. And in that, she says, here's the four mindsets. Be curious, believe the best, express concern, and share your life. I love the be curious one. The be curious one gets at asking good questions. Here's the problem with asking questions, though, sometimes. Have you ever been with somebody who was asking you a series of questions, and maybe they were trying to get to know you, but you felt interrogated by them? Right? Because it's a one-sided conversation. They were never letting you ask any questions back. They were kind of intense in the questions. And by the way, if you're asking somebody questions, don't get your phone out and start taking notes. Don't fact check their reply. Don't be creepy. So how do you ask questions? How do you get to know somebody without being creepy? How are you curious without being creepy? Because sometimes being curious can come across as being a little creepy. Well, she gives us some tips in her book. She says this. Number one, this is the way you can be curious without being creepy, okay? Begin a conversation with these words. I'm so curious. Tell me about this. So you got to be listening to things that they're talking about. I'm so curious. Tell me about your grandson, or tell me about your son going off to school, or your daughter. Or I'm so curious. Tell me about that car that you just bought that you were talking about. You know, what kind of car is it? What options did it have? Why did you decide to buy it at that dealership? You know, kind of thing. You know, find out what they're interested in and talk to them about it. Be listening and following up with curious questions. Number two, make a list of people in your life that you'd like to grow closer to. What are some of the things you'd like to know about them? Just think about that. The third one is attempt to ask a curious question to everyone you encounter. Take a day of the week and just ask a curious question to everyone that you encounter. When you go to the grocery store, don't go to the self-checkout. Go to the other checkout where you have to interact with somebody and just ask them a question. You could ask them, do you like working at Wegmans? They might have to say yes. You can ask them, why did you pick the purple shirt to wear today at Wegmans? You know, because they have all these different wild colored shirts on where they work at, you know, that kind of thing. And they might tell you, well, that's the only one I've got. I just keep washing it over and over again, wearing whatever. But just find different people and go throughout your day. And at the end of the day, record the most surprising things that you heard from people. People like to be asked questions. People like to be engaged in conversation. Just don't be creepy about it, all right? Be relational about it. Give it a try this week. Develop your appetite for curiosity. This may be the most Christ-like thing you do this week. Amen? To be curious about others, step out of your world. Don't be so consumed with your world and begin to step into their world by asking some really good questions. Dale Carnegie said this, you can make more friends in 2 months by being genuinely interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. You can make more friends in 2 months by being genuinely interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. It's interesting. Jesus, of course, he wanted people to be interested in him, but what did he do? He took an interest in them. He was always stepping out of his world and stepping in to their world. So listen well. Number two, listen well. Step into their world. Take some time to step into their world. In John 1:14, John blows the mind of the philosophers of the day who believed in the divine logos, divine word, when he says this, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God came and set his tent right up. He put on flesh and blood, and they're like, okay, you're going way too far now. God lives at a distance. God's etherical. God's a divine deity that's off in the distance. He has the truth, but we have to really work hard to get at that truth and do things to get at the truth and work through different levels of life to get up to that area of truth. And John says, no, it's not true. The truth has come to us. He's put on flesh and blood. He stepped into our world. He reminds us that God is not removed. He's the God who stepped into time and history, put on flesh and blood. You know, I love to read through all the different things that Jesus did in Scripture, but some of the things that hit me the most are when Jesus kind of just rubs shoulder with somebody new. And he takes time to sit down and talk with them and get to know them and ask them questions and to step out of his world and to step into their world. He's curious about them. He wants to know them. And when we do the same thing, when we step into someone else's world and into their place and start to ask questions, they are what? Intrigued by God. Touched by God. They get a little sense of Jesus Christ and his love through us. You know, it's not only good to listen to people, but it's good to listen to places that we're in, right? I mean, you've all been in different places where you've sensed something. Are you like, what's going on in this place? You, all of a sudden you find yourself, I remember the first time I was driving through Newark, New Jersey, and Route 78 all of a sudden stopped. Route 78 was not done at that time. I was driving to Long Island, New York to see Debbie, and we were engaged, and I was all excited to go see her for the weekend, and I'm trying to drive out there, and all of a sudden, I'm stuck in Newark. And I'm driving. If you've ever driven around, there's parts of Newark that are great. There's parts of Newark. You don't want to be stuck in Newark with no gas in the middle of the night in some neighborhoods, right? In Newark or any work, right? And I'm seeing cars up on, you know, concrete blocks with no tires on them and stuff. And I'm like, is that going to be me next? And so I start trying to read the place and feel the place, and I'm looking for when I can pull over at a safe place, and I'm looking at what's important to people in this place, right? You start to read a place. But sometimes we live in a place for so long that we stop reading the place. That's right. We stop listening to the place. We go to our places that are kind of our haunts or our restaurants, or but we stop going to maybe some new parts of town. We don't see the new developments. We don't see the new people. We don't see who's coming in. Maybe we don't drive to downtown Lancaster anymore to go get something to eat or whatever. And we stop reading the place. Jesus was always reading not only people, but he was reading the place. And it reminds us in the Blessed book, they bring up this book called Joining God as He Heals Your City. What a great book. What a great title. Joining God as He Heals Your City. As He Heals Your City. And he gives us four ways to listen to a place. I thought they were excellent. So I just put them in my notes this morning. I wanted to go over them with you really quick. And also encourage you, if you don't have the Blessed book, you can pick it up today. I think it's last Sunday. We're selling it. If you want to pick it up in the lobby and pick it up and read it for yourself, it's a great read. But four P's of listening to a place by Rich Gorman. He says, number one, look for the pain in that place. What are the challenges and difficulties associated with that place? Ask that question. Is it loneliness? Is it anxiety? Is it addiction? Is it broken relationships? Is it something to do in the pain in that place with housing? Or is it something to do with holding a job or getting a job or not being able to get a job? You know, what's going on? What's the pain in that place? Pennies. What's the economic viability of this place? Is it prosperous? Is it a challenged place? How is the local economy affecting people for good or bad? What are the economic pressures that are on the people in this place? How's it affecting them? Power. Who holds the power in this place? Who holds the power in this place? Is it the elected officials? Is it the business owners? Is it neighborhood groups? Who is it? Who holds the power in this place? And then parties is the last one. What do people here honor? What do they celebrate? What do they long for? What do they want? Is it friendship, success, health, diversity? What do they celebrate? What makes their heart beat? What do they desire more of? What are they looking for? Jesus stepped into our world. The power of the incarnation is not only stepping out of our world, but stepping into other people's world. Valuing their world, reading their world, listening to what God has to say about their world. I'd give you this assignment this week. I want you to go to three places in the community that you don't often go to. Can be a restaurant, can be a coffee shop, can be whatever. You pick, you know, get online, whatever, pick that place. Can be a park that you haven't gone to. Can be a new shopping area you haven't been to. And just go there and experience the place, and then take a selfie of yourself in that place. And then come back and just look at these questions that we went over and ask God. God, what am I not seeing because I've lived here so long about my place and my people and what's important? And maybe groups of people that you want to reach with your good news. What can I get to know about my neighbors by looking at our common places together? Will you do that this week? Give that a try? When you do it, don't be too creepy when you're taking your pictures, okay? People are used to selfies these days. If you don't want to take a selfie, take a picture of the place. But just take it back and ask God, what might I be missing about this place that I live in? David John Ferguson say this in Blessed, the places where we live, work, and play are constantly speaking to us. If you listen, you'll hear them, whether it's a neighborhood association, the school board, the chamber of commerce, or city council. Just show up and listen for God, for what God wants you to hear. The last one is this, listen well, hang between the two worlds. John 1, 17 and 18 says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it says in the end of verse 18, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. There's two times in John chapter 1, 1 through 18, where it says this phrase, it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth and he made the Father known. Jesus was full of grace, both grace and truth, and he made the Father known. So when we step out of our place and we step into another place and we're listening well, we also hang in the balance between our place and our faith and our beliefs and what's going on with this person or this place over here. We hang in the balance like Jesus. And when we hang in the balance like Jesus, we bring both grace and truth, because we bring the manifestation of the Father. When we step from our space, step into their space, and we hang in the balance, bring both grace and truth. You don't have to worry that when you're hanging in the balance as a Christian that you're somehow watering down your belief or you're giving up on your faith. You're not. You're bringing truth. But bring it with grace. Bring both grace and truth, because the Father is full of both grace and truth. And Jesus Christ showed that to us when he hung in the balance between those two spaces. Hanging between the two doesn't mean that we water it down. It's possible to bring both grace and truth through the person of Jesus Christ. John 19, 17 and 18 says, even right up to his last days and moments here on earth, Jesus Christ was hanging between. It says, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus in the middle. Jesus hung between these two worlds to the very end. One who rejected him, one who accepted him. He's hanging in the middle, but he's still reaching out, full of grace and truth, leaving his world, entering their world, hanging between the two worlds. Sometimes hanging between two worlds is sacrificial. Amen? Sometimes listening well to somebody else is a sacrifice. But there's goodness in sacrifice. There's goodness in sacrifice. Amen? In extending yourself, in extending Jesus, and having a relationship with somebody where they can ask questions, you can ask questions, and the Spirit of God can take up root and work in that. The incarnation is powerful to us because it answers our heart's cry. Listen to us, Lord. Hear our cry. The incarnation, in the incarnation, God says, I hear your cry. I've come to your side. I provided a sacrifice for you, an atoning sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hanging in the balance so that you can walk across his shoulders and have a relationship with the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. The goodness of God in the incarnation. So listening well plus being known equals feeling loved. And guys, I'm going to jump over a couple of slides. So thank you for staying with me back there, especially Earl. Earl gets a big medal today. Thank you, Earl. I used this quote a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to read it again. It's by David Augsburger, and somebody walked up to me after the service and said, I believe it was Mim, hey, do you know David Augsburger? I knew David Augsburger. Small world, isn't it? David Augsburger wrote this, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. First time I ever heard this quote was from a man who passed away just a few weeks ago. His name was Dr. Martin Sanders. He taught at Alliance Theological Seminary. He grew up as a farmer in Ohio, farmed for a number of years, then went off to school, came to Christ, went off to school to become, he was a pastor for a number of years in Elgin, Illinois, and after that became a professor at Canadian Theological Seminary, and then for the past 38 or so years has served at Alliance Theological Seminary in Nyack, New York. And he actually started the Doctor of Ministry program there. Great guy. But one of the things that Martin was he was a great mentor and he was a great listener. He would have us students over to his house. I don't know how many campfires I sat around his house with other students, sitting, listening, and Martin always had a question to start off the evening. He goes, okay, tonight, the question of the soul is, and he usually picked one of us to help him with the question because it was something that we were going through that we could all kind of talk about. And we talked and we cried and we laughed and we laid hands on each other and prayed for each other. Martin was a master of asking good questions, listening well, and guiding a friendship and a process. Over the years, I was not only mentored by Martin, but at some point, he still remains my mentor, but he became my friend. And I can only hope that I've learned from him how to listen well. On Friday afternoon at Long Hill Chapel in New Jersey, we had a large memorial service for Martin. All of his kids were there. Many of his students were there. Other people that he ministered with were there. And for about 2 hours, we told stories. We sang songs. We laughed. We cried. We worshiped. We went into the fellowship hall, and it was full of laughter because everyone was telling Martin stories that happened to them. At the end of his service, my friend Rob Reamer, who was giving the last charge, said this: don't admire Martin, emulate him. Don't admire him, emulate. Here's what I'd say about Jesus. Don't admire Jesus. Emulate Jesus. That's good. Yes, have great respect for the King. Amen? But emulate him. Leave your world. Emulate him. Step into somebody else's world. Emulate Jesus. Listen well. Hang in the balance and let the Holy Spirit fill you up as you listen well and you become as Christ to your neighbors. Amen? Amen? We can do it. We can do it. I gave you, there's a couple of passages of Scripture, Luke 18, John 5, and Mark 6 that you can... They're for later study. If you pick up the book, there's some comments in there about them. And a couple of reflection questions here. Why do we have such difficulty listening to people around us? A couple of questions. When was the last time you felt truly listened to, loved, and known? What was so special about that experience? What people might God be calling you to listen to well? And what places might God be calling you to listen to well? And now I'm going to ask us just to say this prayer together as we close. Let's say it together. Lord, we know that the cry of the human heart is to be heard and known and loved. We long to listen well like you do, Jesus. Please give us the courage to step out of our world, to step into the world of our neighbors, and hang between the two. Thank you, Jesus, for listening so well to us, and for the gift of the incarnation. Please help us bless our neighbors by listening well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jewel. I can't think of any better way to close than the reminder to try to emulate Jesus. So let's take that as a charge as we head out this week. Immediately following the service here, the dismissal, there'll be hot drinks for everyone.